Jay Sekulow approaching 1,000 days in prison for American pastor Syed Abedini.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
If we continue this talking for the last almost three years of talking on the sidelines, it's not really working. They're not released. It's been almost 3 years for our family. In a few weeks, it will be 3 years since we've seen Syed. My frustration is I appreciate that they're being discussed on the sidelines, but they're still not home. Where's the action? Where's the results?
There's no urgency anymore to increase the pressure, and this is a very pressing issue that's lasted years for most of us. And I think if the talks fail and there is no deal, we could lose the engagement and the constructive talks that we're having right now, and those could cease, and then we're back to square one, particularly for my family as well.
We do hold the cards. We just voted a few weeks ago to require a vote by the Congress on any deal that the Obama administration strikes with Iran. And I think we should state unequivocally, both from the House and the Senate, that any deal with Iran is dead on arrival that doesn't include the release of these prisoners. That's what we should say.
I think this next few weeks is the very crucial time. If we don't get the Americans out, I don't know when we will have more leverage. And I agree with Mr. Levinson that either way we lose if we don't get the Americans out before an agreement is reached or not reached. We only have a few weeks left, and while we still have leverage, while the Iranian government would still be motivated at some degree to release them.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. This is going to be a very special week, a very important week. Of course, supposed to be the end of the month, a resolution with the Iranian nuclear deal, the so-called P5 plus one. Meanwhile, Syed Abedini and three other Americans in jail. Still. And for Syed Abedini, he's approaching his 1,000th day in incarceration. We have a very unique goal we have set. We want to deliver, ready for this? 1 million signatures on behalf of the release of Syed and the others. And we're going to give it to the UN, to the State Department. We're going to get it to the right officials. 1 million is the goal. And let me tell you this. We are close. We need you to sign this petition because we want that 1,000th day to be not an anniversary of despair, but a celebration of release. I need you to go to your friends. I need you to sign it. I need you to tell three friends to sign it as well. So it's very important. You can go to ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign this petition for Syed. We want it at 1 million before the completion of these talks at the end of this month. And we're going to hopefully get there sooner. So we really need your help. I'd like to accomplish that this week if possible. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to defend those who can no longer speak for themselves because they're being incarcerated for one reason only. For Syed, it's his faith. For Jason Razian, they say he's a spy because he's a reporter. Amir Hekmati, because he's a United States Marine. Let's fight for this pastor. Let's fight for these Americans. We're going to go to some special broadcasting on that in just a moment. But the fact of the matter is that we're at a very critical time. We want to reach 1 million before the incarceration date and certainly before the end of the P5 plus 1 negotiations at the end of this month. It's critical. 1 million will be a staggering number and will force again world recognition of the plight of Pastor Syed and frankly the other Americans that are being held captive. If you haven't signed it yet, let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. And don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org.
The world is speaking out. Nearly 1 million people have now signed on to our petitions demanding the release of American pastor Saeed Abedini, who remains in an Iranian prison, beaten and abused because of his Christian faith. Next week, Pastor Saeed, a U.S. citizen, will mark 1,000 days in captivity, separated from his wife and children, facing grave danger as the end of June deadline for reaching a nuclear deal with Iran approaches. Now is the time to bring Pastor Saeed and the other Americans home. Stand with us. We're almost there, approaching the 1 million mark. Help us reach 1 million signatures demanding the release of Pastor Saeed. Be heard before it's too late. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. When it was first released last fall, Rise of ISIS skyrocketed to the top, becoming a number one New York Times bestseller. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team revealed the brutality of ISIS, the Islamic State, putting a much-needed spotlight on this real and present danger. Now this best-selling book, Rise of ISIS, has been revised and updated with critical new insight and new analysis. Find out how ISIS continues to expand, to dominate, to unleash unspeakable violence against Christians and others, and find out what needs to be done to stop them. A revised and updated edition of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, is available now at bookstores nationwide. Or you can order a copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Rise of ISIS, available now.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I want to take you back a little bit here with some special broadcast so you get the kind of the understanding of the hearings we've had, the history of this, to reset it, the situation for Saeed Abedini, because we are a couple weeks away from the ending of these talks, supposedly, and we're approaching 1,000 days of incarceration effective June 23rd. We want to get to 1 million signatures. We need your help on this, folks. It's easy to do. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let's stand for Saeed. This is the week. It counts, folks. It's always counted, but it really counts right now. We're going to get to 1 million signatures. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255.
I've been asked by a lot of people in South Carolina and throughout the country, what's going on in the world? They see on television things that they cannot believe exist in 2015. This is not 1015, this is 2015. And as I speak, people are being crucified. People are being burned alive. They're being beheaded. And their only offense is that they have a different religious perspective than the radical Islamists who are trying to purify their faith, who are commanded by God under their view of religion to kill or convert every Christian they can find, to destroy the state of Israel, destroy everything that we hold sacred and dear, thousands of years of art being smashed with a sledgehammer, women being raped and sold into captivity and taken as trophies of war because, in their religious interpretation or view, they can do so. This hearing is the first in a long journey I will take, along with my colleagues, to shed light on what I think is one of the most barbaric periods in modern history. And if America doesn't shed this light, who will? The beauty of our Constitution and our way of life is that we have bought into a simple construct. I will insist on worshiping God or not at all upon my terms, and I will convey that same right to you. That's the way it works in America. And the people we're fighting, ISIL and other associated groups, have one of the darkest views of religion and humanity of anyone since the Nazis. As the Nazis pursued a master race, these radical Islamic groups are pursuing a master religion. And it is up to us, the good people of the world, not the perfect people of the world, but the good people of the world, to do something about it. And it's going to take force of arms, but it's going to take more than that. It's going to take the moral authority that comes with our cause, speaking without equivocation and acting on our words.
Senator, on behalf of the American Center for Law and Justice and over 166,000 people that have contacted us just in the last week regarding this issue, thank you for having this hearing and thank you for allowing me to testify. The issue of religious persecution is prevalent to minority faiths within the Middle East region, there's no doubt. My testimony is going to focus primarily on the plight of Christians and others in two countries that are allies of the United States, Turkey and Pakistan, and also discuss the situation in Iran, and then briefly mention, as the bishop already has done eloquently, the situation with the Islamic State. I'd like to first cover, if I can, the fact that Chairman Grant, you and I discussed this earlier this week, and I'm going to quote your words because I think these are the words that should be the heart of what we're talking about, that we are facing today a religious genocide in the Middle East by ISIS and other groups, destroying Christian populations that have existed for 2,000 years. One of the cornerstones of humanity is the fundamental right to religious freedom and belief. Following the atrocities of the Holocaust after World War II, the international community responded by a series of actions. One of those was the establishment of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Article 18 of which says everyone has the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. And I would point out that the international community has formalized these in a series of actions, including the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. Iran is a signatory. Pakistan is a signatory to these international obligations. Yet, despite their signatories to the covenants, and to the Declaration of Human Rights, there's been a consistent pattern of denying fundamental rights. Islamic-based countries have often attempted to subject international norms to their view of Sharia law, which is paramount within that culture. The United Nations has expressed that these limitations violate the very institutions and the very instruments that these governments have signed, but nevertheless, the policy maintains as it is. Iran, Turkey, and Pakistan voted in favor of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights without any reservation whatsoever. Iran, as Senator, many of you know, we have a troubling situation for Christians in Iran. I could talk from a firsthand perspective that we represent the interests of this Abedini family. Saeed Abedini has been in jail now for 3 years almost. His crime was and is that he's a Christian. They said it was a violation of the Iranian government through their mock judicial process, a faux judiciary, I call it. Accused him of violating national security interests because he had house churches that met for prayer, worship, and study. Iran is silently suffocating the church. Even private worship comes at a heavy price. Iran, as I said, convicted American citizen Saeed Abedini. He's representative of hundreds of others. I do want to thank personally here Ambassador Saperstein for meeting with the family of Saeed Abedini Naghmi, his wife, and also the president for meeting with Naghmi and her two children. It was reassuring to know that there is a concern at the highest levels. Having said that, at the close of 2014, 92 Christians that we know of remained imprisoned in Iran. There are hundreds of others that we don't know of. And of course, mass executions. That's Iran. Turkey, our NATO ally, struggles to recognize the religious rights of minorities, and that is being kind. Turkey denies recognition of the Ecumenical Patriarch of the Greek Orthodox Church. I represent that church globally. The clergy cannot even leave the compound of the Patriarch, Kate, with clerical garb. They are not allowed to build new churches. They are not allowed to repair existing churches. This takes place at the same time that in 2007, three employees of a Bible publishing house had their hands tied, legs tied, throats slit and killed, and the five individuals involved in that who were arrested have now been released from jail in Turkey, our NATO ally. Disturbingly, now, of course, it's been reported and confirmed that Turkey has increased its ties with Hamas, which is a group that's bent on persecuting Jews. That's our ally, Turkey. Pakistan, another ally, blasphemy laws create an ongoing problem for Christians in the region. Asiya Bibi is a Christian mother of five. She remains on death row for offering water to a Muslim co-worker of hers. After advocating for reform, the governor of the area was assassinated and killed. Our affiliate, we have an office that operates in Pakistan, in Lahore, Pakistan. Our affiliate in Pakistan is representing a seven-year-old Christian girl who was raped and kidnapped by her Muslim neighbors, and no prosecution for those that are known to have done this, zero. And finally, with regard to the Islamic State, it changes on an hourly basis. Just a few weeks ago, we reported on the 21 Christian Coptic Christians that were killed. That was followed up by hundreds of Assyrian Christians that were taken. And just a few days ago, another village was taken with additional Christians. And Chairman, as you said, Senator Graham, crucifixions, beheading in 2015 should not be the way in which the civilized world operates. With regard to recommendations, we have those in our written submissions, which I request be made part of the record. But there's some things that are being done and some things that need to be done. We need to ensure that our allies abide by universal declarations that they signed off on. And if they don't, there needs to be a penalty for that. And that penalty needs to be they don't get U.S. dollars if they are knowingly, willfully, and consciously violating religious liberty and religious rights. We need to increase the role of the ambassador at large for religious freedom. I think that it plays a key role that we now, again, have another ambassador. Rabbi Saperstein has been a friend of mine for a long time. I have no doubt with the right funding and the right positioning and the right acceptance within the State Department, he will be able to fulfill an important role. And finally, Senator, I want to thank you again and the committee. Having this hearing goes a long way in solving this problem. And thank you for that, Senator.
We're going to be back with more in just a moment. But folks, let me encourage you. We need your help. Syed Abedini needs your help. We want to get to 1 million signatures. I would like to be there on the 23rd of June because that's the 1,000th day of imprisonment. And I'd like to have 1 million signatures on that 1,000th day. So go to ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. But folks, share this with your friends. You can share it online. Get your friend. If everyone that's listening to me were to sign this and get three friends to sign it, we make our goal. Easily. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
When it was first released last fall, Rise of ISIS skyrocketed to the top, becoming a number one New York Times bestseller. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team revealed the brutality of ISIS, the Islamic State, putting a much-needed spotlight on this real and present danger. Now this best-selling book, Rise of ISIS, has been revised and updated with critical new insight and new analysis. Find out how ISIS continues to expand, to dominate, to unleash unspeakable violence against Christians and others, and find out what needs to be done to stop them. A revised and updated edition of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, is available now at bookstores nationwide. Or you can order a copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Rise of ISIS, available now. The world is speaking out. Nearly 1 million people have now signed on to our petitions demanding the release of American pastor Syed Abedini, who remains in an Iranian prison, beaten and abused because of his Christian faith. Next week, Pastor Syed, a U.S. citizen, will mark 1,000 days in captivity, separated from his wife and children, facing grave danger as the end of June deadline for reaching a nuclear deal with Iran approaches. Now is the time to bring Pastor Syed and the other Americans home. Stand with us. We're almost there, approaching the 1 million mark. Help us reach 1 million signatures demanding the release of Pastor Syed. Be heard before it's too late. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I want to take you back a little bit here with some special broadcast so you get the kind of the understanding of the hearings we've had, the history of this, to reset it, the situation for Saeed Abedini, because we are a couple weeks away from the ending of these talks, supposedly. And we're approaching 1,000 days of incarceration effective June 23rd. We want to get to a million signatures. We need your help on this, folks. It's easy to do. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let's stand for Saeed. This is the week. It counts, folks. It's always counted, but it really counts right now. We're going to get to 1 million signatures. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255.
Mr. Sekulow, do you believe that the international law that applies to against religious genocide in support of religious freedom, that ISIL is in violation?
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it, Senator. And something that you said, which has struck me personally today as I think about it, is when you talk about the intergenerational conflict. I just became a grandfather. And the idea that my grandson could be fighting this conflict. And the fact is, ISIS does not only ignores any rule of law with regard to religious freedom, they certainly don't in any way comply with the laws of armed conflict, as you would know very well. This is an organization that has to be crushed. There's not, as you said, not a negotiating point. It has to be crushed, eliminated, and they're growing. And the fact that Boko Haram has just pledged an allegiance to them, I think, is even more troubling.
What would you recommend this committee do regarding the nation states that you mentioned that you believe are involved in persecution?
Well, especially to nation states that are allies of the United States, I think we have to, I would urge the Congress to take concrete action, and that is funding, which is the lifeblood of a lot of these governments, is put with a precondition. And that precondition is there has to be an affirmance and a compliance with international charters that they have signed, whether it's the Universal Declaration of Human Rights or other international obligations, and that we have the ability to deny those funds if, in fact, the government does not comply.
Talk me through, and I'm going to ask each of you to just make a quick comment on this, and I'll take that, begin with the bishop first on it, and work all the way across the ambassador. The difference between freedom of religion and freedom of worship, because that has become a much discussed issue in the days ahead. What is the American value? Is this about freedom of religion or freedom of worship? Any thoughts that you may have on that philosophical question? I want to come back with some practical things as well. Bishop?
We need both. Freedom of worship is much more limited. If we might have a visual, it's within the walls. Freedom of religion. Religion is practiced 7 days a week, not just on whichever day we're within the walls of the temple or the church or the synagogue.
Thank you, Mr. Sekulow.
Senator, I think the best thing to do is look at the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Article 18, which states that everyone has the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. That would assume both freedom of religion and freedom of worship. And then the individual international documents, international obligations that these governments have signed on have also protected religious worship. I would also add that in addition to our view of, in the United States, of religious freedom, that it subsumes also religious worship, the European Court of Human Rights, where we've litigated cases, they've recognized that religious freedom and worship go together. So I think that trying to separate those two becomes very, I think they're part and parcel of the same.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Perkins?
Well, with Jay Sekulow to the right of me, there's not much left for me to say. I think we go back to international law, and the Human Rights Declaration, it sums it up that it is the ability to live it out. Freedom of worship is a truncated view of the freedom of religion. The freedom of religion is the ability to live your life, not just within the four walls of your church or the four walls of your home, but to be able to take it into the marketplace, to be able to take it into the broader culture. That's what America has long stood for and protected both here and abroad. And that is what is at risk we see both domestically and internationally.
Right. Mr. Ambassador.
Freedom of religion is absolutely central. Freedom of worship is absolutely central. It doesn't cover freedom to educate your children, freedom to speak out on your religious beliefs, freedom to proselytize others, freedom to get together in group activities beyond worship. It doesn't include the right of people to choose with the faith that they want or to believe, choose not to believe if they want, the right to convert. All of those are covered under international accords by freedom of religion. It's very important. I was delighted that the secretary, am I swearing in, used freedom of religion. Here the president has used freedom of religion. It is important that that be the message going out to the world.
Very much. Senator Moran.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. Thank you to our panelists for being here. In the course of history, is there an ebb and flow of religious persecution? It increases at points in time, decreases at others. And what would be the cause and effect, the factors that change the nature of the amount and intensity of religious persecution around the globe?
Well, I think an example, and the Secretary of State brought this up in testimony just a few days back, where he said if you look at the violence that has occurred through the last century, that it's safer now than it was in the last century. But the last century was the Holocaust, where 6 million Jews and 6 million others were killed. The ebb and flow tends to be with a rise of nationalism, with a disregard of anyone being different, or anyone being different being deemed the enemy. And it starts in the education process. I know this is something that Ambassador Saperstein's been concerned with. If you teach hatred, you breed hatred. And I think this also goes back to what Senator Graham said. We have to understand that nation building here, I mean, that's not a popular word, but we have to engage it. And with regard to this kind of the ebb and flow, I think we're at a point in history right now that if we look at what is taking place just within the Middle East, I'm not even going to include most of North Africa, just the Middle East, there is a 9/11 every single day, every single day. And some days much worse, just the sheer numbers of people being killed because of who they are. That includes the Baha'is, that includes Yazidis, that includes Christians, and of course with some other groups, it includes Jews. And I think we're in a point in history where they may not have the lethality yet in the sense of the systematic approach of the Nazis. They are certainly marking people because of what they believe in for extermination, and that does not bode well for the people.
Is it that you believe something different than those in power?
Well, certainly. And I think the Islamic State's a perfect example of this. ISIS, now called ISIL, now just called the Islamic State, has a view that if you are a Muslim that disagrees with them, you are an infidel. In fact, in one sense, they're worse than other religious groups. So that's why you're seeing this kind of mass destruction within the Muslim community. I was talking with a friend of mine, Canon Andrew White, who's the vicar of Baghdad for the Anglican Church in England. He's now in Jordan. And he said that if you look at the indiscriminate nature of ISIS, they have a very narrow view of their version of Sunni Islam. But you now have this pledging of allegiance by these other groups. We don't want to call it, you know, no one likes to say you're in a war, in a religion war, but we are, Senator, as you said. No one wants to say we're in war with Islam. Well, tell that to Khalif Ibrahim. It may not be the Islam that most of the people support, granted, but it is this version. And that this version is as toxic as the Nazis. And I lost a lot of family members in Nazi Germany, so I don't say that lightly. A whole side of my family was wiped out in Nazi Germany. But it's that same kind of systematic approach.
We're going to be back with more in just a moment. But folks, let me encourage you. We need your help. Syed Abedini needs your help. We want to get to 1 million signatures. I would like to be there on the 23rd of June because that's the 1,000th day of imprisonment. And I'd like to have 1 million signatures on that 1,000th day. So go to ACLJ.org. Or call us at 1-877-989-2255. But folks, share this with your friends. You can share it online. Get your friend. If everyone that's listening to me were to sign this and get three friends to sign it, we make our goal. Easily. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
Now is the time to bring Pastor Saeed and the other Americans home. Stand with us. We're almost there, approaching the 1 million mark. Help us reach 1 million signatures demanding the release of Pastor Saeed. Be heard before it's too late. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I want to take you back a little bit here with some special broadcast so you get the kind of the understanding of the hearings we've had, the history of this, to reset it, the situation for Saeed Abedini, because we are a couple weeks away from the ending of these talks, supposedly. And we're approaching 1,000 days of incarceration effective June 23rd. We want to get to a million signatures. We need your help on this, folks. It's easy to do. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let's stand for Saeed. This is the week. It counts, folks. It's always counted, but it really counts right now. We're going to get to 1 million signatures. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255.
Well, I actually think my choice of words, ebb and flow, is unfortunate in a sense. It's not that casual.
Yeah.
Don't mean to downplay that it's just some force beyond our control. But the answer to that question, I think, helps determine what the response is to fight religious persecution.
And one of the things, Senator Graham, you had mentioned, I think this exactly applies, Senator, is under the International Religious Freedom Act right now, it's non-state actors aren't covered. But if we include non-state actors within that, and I think we have to, ISIS is operating like a state, first of all. If you include non-state actors, all of a sudden we can freeze assets, we can deny access, we can deny entry, we can move on visas, we can move on passports. And I think when you got U.S. recruits, we need to put non-actors inside the International Religious Freedom Act. That needs to be an amendment authorized by the Congress.
Thank you very much, Ambassador. As we know, we have ongoing negotiations with Iran currently related to nuclear weapons. Is there a conversation, a discussion, negotiations going on directly with Iran related to religious persecution? And if you could bring me up to date on Pastor Saeed and the latest efforts by our efforts to see his release.
Allow me 20 seconds to just add to what Jay Sekulow said. In our IRF reports on 199 countries, every one of them has a section about social hostilities. Every one of them has a section on non-state actors when they're there. So we are fully reporting and engaging on it. And what we test in that is, does the government respond to it? It's failure to respond. It isn't just complicity. It isn't just what they're acting. They're complicit if they let it happen and they don't act. So there is at least some engagement on those issues. Yes, there are limits when we don't have diplomatic relations with a country. But around the sidelines, I think this is well known, around the sidelines of the nuclear talks, Wendy Sherman has engaged over Saeed Abedini. There have been extensive conversations. We have used the Swiss and other international partners who have better relations to deal with American prisoners of all kinds, religious and non-religious, but that includes the religious prisoners of conscience who are American citizens and some who are not on the issues as well. But there are limitations. But on Saeed Abedini, that has gone on. We do know, and I know I want to commend the ACLJ on their extraordinary work for the Abedini family, but I have learned from them that his father is now allowed to visit him again. That is encouraging, but nothing is going to be satisfactory to the family or America until he is released.
We're going to be back with more in just a moment, but folks, let me encourage you. We need your help. Saeed Abedini needs your help. We want to get to 1 million signatures. I would like to be there on the 23rd of June because that's the 1,000th day of imprisonment, and I'd like to have 1 million signatures on that 1,000th day. So go to ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255, but folks, share this with your friends. You can share it online. Get your friend. If everyone that's listening to me were to sign this and get three friends to sign it, we make our goal. Easily. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
The world is speaking out. Nearly 1 million people have now signed on to our petitions demanding the release of American pastor Saeed Abedini, who remains in an Iranian prison beaten and abused because of his Christian faith. Next week, Pastor Saeed, a U.S. citizen, will mark 1,000 days in captivity, separated from his wife and children, facing grave danger as the end of June deadline for reaching a nuclear deal with Iran approaches. Now is the time to bring Pastor Saeed and the other Americans home. Stand with us. We're almost there, approaching the 1 million mark. Help us reach 1 million signatures demanding the release of Pastor Saeed. Be heard before it's too late. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. When it was first released last fall, Rise of ISIS skyrocketed to the top, becoming a number one New York Times bestseller. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team revealed the brutality of ISIS, the Islamic State, putting a much-needed spotlight on this real and present danger. Now this best-selling book, Rise of ISIS, has been revised and updated with critical new insight and new analysis. Find out how ISIS continues to expand, to dominate, to unleash unspeakable violence against Christians and others, and find out what needs to be done to stop them. A revised and updated edition of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, is available now at bookstores nationwide. Or you can order a copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Rise of ISIS, available now.
Broadcast, everyone. I want to take you back a little bit here with some special broadcast so you get the kind of the understanding of the hearings we've had, the history of this, to reset it, the situation for Saeed Abedini, because we are a couple weeks away from the ending of these talks, supposedly, and we're approaching 1,000 days of incarceration effective June 23rd. We want to get to a million signatures. We need your help on this, folks. It's easy to do. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let's stand for Saeed. This is the week. It counts, folks. It's always counted, but it really counts right now. We're going to get to 1 million signatures. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255.
Last year, we did see a good result of the discussion on Miriam Ebrahim from this discussion. As you mentioned, nobody's been more vigorous in trying to pursue this issue than Mr. Sekulow and his group. I just find it hard to believe in all the things we've done with the Iranians that this has really been the kind of focus it should have been. We've given them millions of dollars of money back that we've held on to since 1979, just asking them if they'd talk to us for another 60 days. That was the last deal made. That had to be an interesting proposition for them. Just continue to talk for 60 days. We'll give you several hundred million dollars back we've held on to since 1969. And in that process, we couldn't get one person out of prison that nobody in this country believes should be there.
I will say this, Senator. Ambassador Saperstein is, within weeks of being sworn into office, took a personal interest in Saeed Abedini's case, not only willing to meet with the family, but working on multiple fronts, because there is these periphery discussions that take place, and we're not disclosing anything that's not known. Frankly, and I want to be careful on this, but frankly, the discussions help keep him alive. I think we have to realize that just the discussion, this hearing, helps keep him alive. Comments from the President of the United States saying something about Saeed Abedini keeps him alive. Your testimony, your statements keep him alive. These sideline discussions keep him alive. It doesn't answer the question on how we got to this place in the first place. And in other words, we were going to sit down with the Iranians and we didn't have some kind of preconditions. It's not just Saeed Abedini, but get these Americans out of jail. Having said that, there's nothing we could do about that right now. But what we can do is this: insist that apart from any deals with Iran, any structured arrangements with Iran, that Saeed Abedini, his family, are reunited, as other Americans need to be from Iran. And I do want to say again that Ambassador Saperstein has taken a unique and important interest in this case. at a level that we have not seen previously. There's been support within the ambassador's office and his predecessor, but this is at a whole new level. And a lot of that's because of relationships and willingness and a commitment to this issue, which we're very appreciative. And the fact that the president met with Nagmeh Abedini, as someone asked me, how significant is that? They said, well, they are from a different political party, the other side of the political aisle here. And I said, well, it's the president of the United States talking about someone who's held captive in Iran. It helps keep him alive. And right now, until he's released, we got to keep him alive. Thank you, Senator.
I appreciate that. I wonder, Mr. Seklow, since the ambassador probably can't talk about this, and by the way, Ambassador, I'm very pleased to hear others working on this have a sense that you're headed in the direction that I thought you would be whenever I stood in the well of the Senate and his members came up and asked, why are you voting for him? I said, because I think he's committed to get this job done, and I'm glad to hear that. I do wonder why in a country that appears to have so much at stake, or not, I'm not sure how serious the negotiations are, but why the message of the level of good faith this would create doesn't get through to them. When the President of the United States is doing this, why do you have any idea why he is that important to them?
Well, you would think as a confidence-building measure in discussions like this that they would release the American, just as a confidence-building measure. But I think we are looking at that through our eyes and not through the eyes of their own experience within the regime that is controlled in a different way. They have it's not a real judiciary. It's not really an elected legislative body. It is run by the Revolutionary Guard and the Ayatollah. And that's the reality of what we're dealing with. And I think we tend to look, Senator, and it's puzzling to all of us. Why would you not release this American? We actually saw the documents upon which charges have been made against people like Saeed Abedini. We've seen these in other cases, too. And they'll say they're an enemy of the state because of their religious belief. They do the same thing with the Baha'is. It was said earlier by the senator. It's the same kind of thing. Why they picked on the American, I hope it's not as a political bargaining chip, but right now if it's involved in the political process and that's helping him keep him alive, then my job as his advocate is to do that. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you all.
Senator Daines.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am very pleased to be here today discussing this very important topic of religious freedom. My great-great-grandmother, in fact, my mom told me this as a child, says, why did she come to America? They left Scandinavia for economic freedom, but also for religious freedom. And that is why our family came to the United States years ago. And it was the government interference in the state in the church affairs, the whole free church movement. So grateful to be discussing religious freedom here today. I know as I travel around Montana, you talk about the Second Amendment and guns, the phones light up. It's an important issue for us back home. But when you ask high school students, what's the First Amendment about? You usually hear about freedom of speech and freedom of the press. But they forget about the very first part, which you all know, the distinguished panelists, freedom of religion. And I'm grateful for that for our country. And so in light of that, Mr. Perkins, thank you for being here and for your testimony. In your view, has the current administration shown moral clarity on issues of religious freedom?
Thank you, Senator. I do believe, now I obviously don't know everything that's going on, but the fact that for 36 months the ambassador's spot remained vacant sent a message that we did not put a priority as administration, as a country, on religious freedom. I'm grateful that the rabbi is now there because I agree. I think he's doing a good job and look forward to working with him in that post. But there's so much more that can be done. And this is not a one-size-fits-all approach to this religious liberty and freedom threat. The Middle East is one aspect. You look at what's happening in North Korea. China's been mentioned. We haven't mentioned India. After their elections, religious freedom has slipped in that country. We need to be watching very closely what's happening, not just with Christians, but all religious minorities there in that country. Under the International Religious Freedom Act, this is to be a priority in our foreign policy. Our training for our foreign service officers is to be a priority. Diplomats requires the diplomats to meet with NGOs to promote religious freedom. Now, you've probably had more interaction with ambassadors than I have, but I have met with foreign ambassadors. In my conversations, this has never been a topic that has been brought up to them as a priority in our foreign policy. In fact, it's been contrary. So to answer your question, Senator, I would say no. They have not spoken with clarity. It has not been a priority that has been put forth by this country, this administration. And as a result, we see record levels of religious persecution. And according to the experts that track this, it's not about to crest. It's continuing to rise. In the foreseeable future, does not look good.
Thanks, Mr. Perkins. A question for the bishop, and I say this in the context of having spent 6 years living in China back in the 90s. So I was an expat with a Fortune 20 company there, launching operations to sell products into a Chinese market. In light of the Catholic Church's difficulties with the Chinese government regarding the appointment of bishops and freedom of worship, has the United States government played a positive role for the church and pressed the Chinese government to allow the Vatican to appoint its own bishops?
I'm not an expert in diplomacy. I'm a pastor. But the fact that, as I mentioned earlier, that we want to allow the Vatican to take a lead in this, and if anything, we want to open up some space, yes.
Are you getting help from the U.S. government?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But just as a good physician,
not sure would certainly not be a yes.
That's not a yes.
Okay.
As a good physician, first you do no harm, and so we want to be sure that we don't do harm in opening up some space for dialogue.
Yeah, and I understand it's a sensitive topic, having sure. lived there for 6 years. But I'm hoping we do all we can in terms of government here to help the cause there of the freedom for
Appreciate
the Catholic
it.
Church. You bet.
We're going to be back with more in just a moment. But folks, let me encourage you. We need your help. Syed Abedini needs your help. We want to get to 1 million signatures. I would like to be there on the 23rd of June because that's the 1,000th day of imprisonment. And I'd like to have 1 million signatures on that 1,000th day. So go to aclj.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. But folks, share this with your friends. You can share it online. Get your friend. If everyone that's listening to me were to sign this and get three friends to sign it, we make our goal. Easily. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
When it was first released last fall, Rise of ISIS skyrocketed to the top, becoming a number one New York Times bestseller. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team revealed the brutality of ISIS, the Islamic State, putting a much-needed spotlight on this real and present danger. Now this best-selling book, Rise of ISIS, has been revised and updated with critical new insight and new analysis. Find out how ISIS continues to expand, to dominate, to unleash unspeakable violence against Christians and others, and find out what needs to be done to stop them. A revised and updated edition of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, is available now at bookstores nationwide. Or you can order a copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Rise of ISIS, available now. The world is speaking out. Nearly 1 million people have now signed on to our petitions demanding the release of American pastor Syed Abedini, who remains in an Iranian prison, beaten and abused because of his Christian faith. Next week, Pastor Syed, a U.S. citizen, will mark 1,000 days in captivity, separated from his wife and children, facing grave danger as the end of June deadline for reaching a nuclear deal with Iran approaches. Now is the time to bring Pastor Syed and the other Americans home. Stand with us. We're almost there, approaching the 1 million mark. Help us reach 1 million signatures demanding the release of Pastor Syed. Be heard before it's too late. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I want to take you back a little bit here with some special broadcast so you get the kind of the understanding of the hearings we've had, the history of this, to reset it, the situation for Saeed Abedini, because we are a couple weeks away from the ending of these talks, supposedly, and we're approaching 1,000 days of incarceration effective June 23rd. We want to get to a million signatures. We need your help on this, folks. It's easy to do. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let's stand for Saeed. This is the week. It counts, folks. It's always counted, but it really counts right now. We're going to get to 1 million signatures. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255.
After Egypt and the United Arab Emirates carried out airstrikes in Libya in response to the beheading of 21 Coptic Christians, spokesman for the Department of Defense said that the U.S. did not support these efforts. Again, should we publicly be condemning our allies that are basically trying to support their people that of their country, again, trying to protect their religious beliefs?
That's a statement I'm not familiar with. You would have to address it to the Department of Defense.
But would you agree with that? Do you agree that we should come out and say, you know, that again, we don't support the Egyptians for trying to protect their people and their religious beliefs?
I think Egypt should protect their citizens, their religious beliefs. I think Sisi, who has many problematic actions in the broader human rights field, has made some progress in terms of confronting extremism, extremist interpretations of Islam, and calling on Islamic religious leaders to begin to push back very hard about that. And he has been more open to the Coptic community than his predecessors, but there are still problems, and we are dealing with an ongoing basis with the Egyptian government over the problems that exist of the rights of the Coptic community to live openly and freely with equal protection in Egypt.
Right. So I guess what I'm saying is it's not one thing. It's just thing after thing. The delay in your nomination, you know, the fact that that was vacant so long, the fact that we still don't have the special envoy to promote religious freedom of religious minorities. Again, and I think you would agree that lots of tiptoeing, you know, around these statements that come out as to what's going on. It's just one thing after another. And as a result, I think Americans are very, very concerned about, again, not identifying the problem and treading so lightly as to, you know, calling a spade a spade.
I think there's legitimacy to different narratives, and another narrative would be this president in India dealing with religious freedom as bluntly as he's done at the National Prayer Breakfast, being so forceful in terms of the imprimatur that the administration has given me to empower me in the work that I'm doing, the fact of how open the entire State Department has been to this religious freedom agenda as a crucial agenda, whether it is a change or just different things going on at the same time. I actually think there is a legitimate narrative that says that this is an administration, a Secretary of State, and a president that cares deeply about this issue of religious freedom.
Right. No, I understand. And yet, again, as I travel about Arkansas and other states, the average person hasn't understood that narrative.
If that's the case, then we have work to do to help bring what is a very real aspect of the work of the United States government more clearly to the American people. So I take that challenge seriously.
Thank you.
May I just 10 seconds to respond to the bishop and your colleague here? In addition to everything we've done on Uyghur Muslims and Tibetan Buddhists and the Falun Gong and all the other religious groups, in every report, and back to when I chaired the commission, and it's the first commission, everything that they have done, we have spoken out over and over again about the rights of the church to name its own bishops. We've spoken out on behalf of Bishop Ma. It has been a consistent message that we've done. So I want to reassure you that there's been a very strong positioning of the United States government on behalf of the rights of the Catholic community to choose to work with the Vatican as their organizing religious authority.
Okay, so I'm going to take my 15 seconds back that was. Good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me just close with a question for the bishop and Mr. Sekulow and Mr. Parkins, you all have highlighted various things about the United States' obligation under international and domestic law to uphold and protect our religious freedoms. If you just had one thing, a message to us as to what you feel like Congress needs to be doing, could you, talk to us for just a second about that?
Sure, and just reiterating the message as I visited the displaced persons in Kurdistan, I promised them that I would bring their stories back to the U.S. And so I hope to do that, and I brought their message here today: protection for the religious minorities in that part of the world, in Iraq, and aid, humanitarian aid, and development, health care, and education.
Senator, we would request that the committee and through the Congress amend the International Religious Freedom Act to include non-state actors, and that as part of that, that Section 405 would bar from entering the United States and freeze the assets of any government officials or their agents who have engaged in particular acts of religious persecution and violations, work with our European allies to ban from entry and freeze assets of government officials who have engaged in these type of activities. And I think that choking off the money would do a lot.
I would again say that today is a significant step forward in sending the message that the Senate, along with the House, that's been holding hearings on related matters, is taking this serious. Now, in D.C., in the city of meetings, it might not mean a whole lot. Internationally, though, the fact that you have called a hearing on this topic is sending a strong message. In addition to what Mr. Sekulow says, I don't think we need new laws necessarily at this point, but I would urge you, as you hold further hearings on this, that you call members of the State Department forward, the Secretary, and just ask as to whether or not the International Religious Freedom Act is actually being followed. There's no evidence to suggest that it's being followed by the letter of the law.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Ambassador, you're the right guy at the right time. Whatever problems we've had in the past, let's try to correct them in the future. A hearing without action is just a meeting. I didn't convene a meeting. I want it to result in action.
Well, that's going to do it for the broadcast today, but we really need your help. Said Abedini needs your help. We want to get to 1 million signatures. I would like to be there on the 23rd of June because that's the 1,000th day of imprisonment. And I'd like to have 1 million signatures on that 1,000th day. So go to ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. But folks, share this with your friends. You can share it online. Get your friend. If everyone that's listening to me were to sign this and get three friends to sign it, we make our goal. Easily. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
Now is the time to bring Pastor Saeed and the other Americans home. Stand with us. We're almost there, approaching the 1 million mark. Help us reach 1 million signatures demanding the release of Pastor Saeed. Be heard before it's too late. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.